the mentoring that she has done for the study group. She was part of our original visioning team, and the very first visioning we did for this group, we came together with 8 people in our living room, and it was a remarkable group of people. Reverend Hillary was there, and Peter was there, and Harriet and David and I, of the people who are here today, and of those that are still a part of this group, Kate and Judy were there. And the thing that came out of, it was actually the second visioning that we had, is that Sherry Rothstein said, "What was the prayer that you prayed that resulted in the coming together of this group?" And so I would ask Harriet if she would be willing today to share her part of the vision of this group, because I want to make sure that we carry that forward as part of this group. Is that okay with you? Put you on the spot.
It does, and it's hard to remember. I just know that I was wanting spiritual community in my life, and I had been away from it for a while. A number of years, and just was really feeling the need to get back. And I didn't know how it was going to come or where it was going to come from, but I kept I call it wishing for it. And I just kept wishing for it and wishing for it, and it showed up.
Mm-hmm.
It was the most amazing thing.
Yep.
It really was. So I always felt I wished the group into being.
Yeah.
I know it was other people too. There were, I mean, we went around the room and everyone was wanting the same thing. So it
mm-hmm.
was kind of that way. But this group has exceeded everything that I wanted. I mean, it's been way, way more than I ever thought it would be. And I want to thank all of you for that. It's been just wonderful. And my life has been so enriched by knowing all of you and by being able to participate in this group that I could never thank you all enough.
Mm-hmm.
And Connie especially for getting it going to begin with.
Well, we all did it together, and what many of you may not know is that Harriet lives in the building next to ours. We have been close neighbors for
13 years.
Yeah, I've been there 12. And one of the things that Harriet was wishing for was spiritual community at home,
mm-hmm.
right in town where we are.
Yes.
And that was part of the intention, was bringing spiritual community to this area and having the opportunity to share with people locally. And so that was wonderful that we met on the block.
Yeah, yeah.
that Harriet was asking for, and ended up meeting within a mile and a half of our neighborhood and all of that. And Harriet found us this place. I don't know if you know that, but she did all the scouting around and negotiated a wonderful nonprofit rate for us in this hotel, and has been remarkable in making sure that we had what we needed at the meetings. She's come early every time for 3.5 years to help us set up the room, and has been taking the lead in cleaning up the room every time for all that time, and has just been this amazing support for this group. And I honor you, Harriet, and I'm so grateful. And I know that the people of York, Pennsylvania are so blessed to have you coming there,
mm-hmm.
because you just give so much, so much love and so much caring. And anybody else want to say something to or about Harriet?
Harriet is a person of 100% devotion. A rare person. She's always, always there. It's like your mom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I feel this infinite, eternal, undying love for Harriet, and appreciation that goes above and beyond anything that I can express in words. I pray for always a Harriet in my physical experience. I have that now. But with your leaving, a great hole is made. And I know there's always a Harriet in my experience. I send you great love. You're an amazing woman. And I appreciate you more than I'll ever be able to express. Thank you for all you are and all you've done.
You express it very well.
It isn't always easy.
I'm fully married. I'm the model of the perfect retirement. She knows how to do it. Right.
Good time.
Mm-hmm. Good time.
Harriet has a lot in common with Grace. They're both bean counters. Harriet used to be a bean counter.
Yeah.
That's my counter.
So it's a nice vision.
Mm-hmm.
A nice vision.
Yeah.
Well, coming from Pennsylvania as I do, I'm wondering what wondrous things you're taking to begin in Pennsylvania.
Not know yet. We'll see how it unfolds.
And what that'll look like. I'm sure you're wishing again.
I'm not quite ready, but I will be. Yeah, I will. And I'll share.
I hope it radiates out through all of Pennsylvania, over to Reading.
It will.
Mm-hmm. Pizza had something to say.
Yes, I do. I like to say that if I know somebody who personifies unconditional love is her, she can do Easter, Christmas dinners, always helpful. If I have something at home, she goes, and I need something, she goes to the supermarket. She always brings food. John is the same. He cooks for him. He has been the official cook. I mean, unconditional. And you know what? I know that the universe is giving you back as much as you have given. So that's so... I'm so grateful to know that. Because I know that for a fact. And David said that... She's glad. He's glad to have you in his life, and you have been a good, incredible teacher for me. Incredible teacher, knowing that expression of unconditional love.
Wow! Thank you. That surprises me, but thank you. And you know, you're all invited to York, and I'll be on email. I sent my new address to the list, and I will send directions. Because I can't remember if I sent them to the list or not. It's kind of, nobody seems to know. So
attachments don't go on the list.
Oh,
so
that's
that
why.
Could be a problem.
I probably attached
off if you attach something to
okay.
the list.
But if anybody's coming our way, let me know. I've got directions, and we've got lots of room in the new house to put up people, lots of people. So just open invitation.
Thank you.
Okay.
Well,
John. Go for it. I'm sorry I didn't know you better, because these people are saying such wonderful things about you. And I wish you well, and everyone hopes that people will speak of them as well as you're being spoken of today. So thank you for the presence you brought to the group.
I want to say something to you, Harriet. I always appreciate somebody who's willing to make a change. I'm willing to step out in life and do something different. Mm-hmm. And I'm delighted to see you doing that. And I'm knowing for you that it's the beginning of yet another incredible adventure, that you'll be surrounded by wonderful neighbors, wonderful friends. We will meet up with you again. I don't know when or how, but we will. And we'll keep in touch through email, thanks to email. And it's just going to be a wonderful, wonderful experience for you. And when Grace is ready to make her step, she might even be checking in with you to get some tips. Who knows?
Okay.
Anyway, all the best. And it's going to be wonderful.
Thank you.
And say goodbye to John for us.
I will. I can't ever get him to come. I just won't do it. But
it's okay.
He's not mean. But you know, he cares.
He's so lovely.
Yeah.
When Allison's mom came one time, she's not here today, but she usually is here, and Allison's from England, and her mom still lives in England, and her mom looked around this group, and she said, you know, I've never heard a group of people express their feelings and their love the way this group is able to do. And it's a remarkable thing to be around people who know how to express appreciation. And I love that we do it before people have funerals. And I hope that we find even more ways to do it before people leave town. More and more people are realizing their dreams and moving on, so we have to do it sooner rather than later, and that's a good lesson for us to learn, because we all there's something to appreciate about everybody every time, and learning how to speak that more clearly is a powerful thing. So I apologize for putting you on the spot and asking you to speak and receive, but I appreciate the graciousness with which you've done.
Thank you, Harriet.
You did wonderful.
Thank you so much. Our subject presented to us was amplifying our connection to Source. And it couldn't have been a better subject, in my opinion. It's something I think about all the time. All of us who happen to be dwelling in a body, I suspect that is most of us, will notice that there are a lot of distractions around. Distractions from a dedicated spiritual life. Sometimes we don't think that we are exactly connecting to Source. We have career happening. We have family happening. Recreation too happening. And the nervous system doesn't know the difference between all of these things. There are just lots of sparks going across our synapses. So whether it's Thursday night bowling, or going to your favorite place of worship, or working at something that's sort of so-so to you, all of that is action on the nervous system. And it creates a lot of conflict sometimes, a lot of desire, a lot of attachment. And traditionally, in the Eastern teachings, those are the things that I pay attention to a lot more, because they're older. I'm always looking for the oldest stuff I can find in my own spiritual study. And it's desire and attachment that gets in the way of our studying the most often. What we really want, you know, I'd be nobody if I didn't have my singing bowls. I'd be nobody if I didn't have my personal history behind me. I'd be nobody if I didn't have family life. All these things that I have put in front of myself, between myself and spirit, that's what really gets in the way. And speaking only for myself, it's a practice of meditation that has helped me to connect more strongly with Source. My own practice consists of about 20 minutes at a time, at least twice a day. If I'm lucky, I'll get in a third one. And I've gone to the earliest teachings in my own study. Ernest Holmes has certainly been a most wonderful source in relaying some of these early teachings in a form that a lot of Westerners can find very palatable, easy to grasp. They very much parallel the Rosicrucian teachings, another mystical body of people. And I found myself in trying to strengthen my own connection. I should mention, my own start in studying spiritually was when my own mother passed on. And she made her transition. It felt to me as though there was an enormous joy that was hidden in that tragedy. Why did I feel so happy about her being released? And I'm older than she was now, which makes it even more serious a study for me, knowing that I'm more or less on borrowed time with this. So I looked at the oldest teachings. I started to find out that a lot of our modern techniques came from as early as Vedanta, the ancient writings of India. Of course, Buddhism, that was 500 and some odd years before the life of Jesus, about 570 BC. Hinduism,
The Jewish mystics, the Kabbalists of the Middle Ages, alchemists, and of course Christianity, borrowing from Jesus, who most likely learned from people in these other traditions. And I started to learn that a lot of the techniques for becoming closer to God or to Allah or Yahweh, Jehovah, the Great Spirit, Factor X, maybe you don't have all of those in, but everybody has a Factor X somewhere hidden inside. Well, all those techniques seem to start with the body and the breath, taking care of ourselves. Resolving inner conflict is the goal. Once we can get past the conflicts, using the word but, it's a but with one T, we have but all the time. I want to practice my music, but I have to do the lawn. Or I want to spend more time with my children today, but this something else is going on. Every time I use that word but, I am setting up a conflict for myself. But if I can use the word and instead, then and becomes an opportunity for me to release the conflict and for me to make a choice, a conscious decision. So maybe I only get a half an hour of practicing in today, but I don't have to be attached to any more than that. I take what I can get. So resolving inner conflict, all of the spiritual traditions have sets of guidelines by which we can release ourselves from these conflicts. We have the Ten Commandments. We have the Buddhist Eightfold Path. In Raja Yoga, we have the Eight-Step Path. We also have these rules called the Yamas and the Niyamas, which are very parallel to the Ten Commandments. And the first one always starts with nonviolence, the law of Ahimsa. Not doing violence to ourselves either. But by releasing this conflict, we get ready for the next step. We can live well enough that working on our bodies and working on our breathing is going to bear fruit. And the fruit being a technique of meditation. In the Eastern sense of meditation is that we transcend. It's not only thinking about scripture, it's not only living within scripture, and you can take a bunch of them. You know, we have the Bible, the Bhagavad Gita, we have the Dhammapada, we have the Torah. All these holy books were written down by people who had some wisdom to share, to help us to understand the purposes of our lives. Those are the first step, getting the mind set up. So we've released inner conflict, we've worked on the body, we've mastered the breath, we've learned how to quiet the mind. Then the transcendence can come. These singing bowls are a tool for helping people to transcend into a technique of meditation. But still, I could have all the bowls in Tibet and I would still not be there being the transcendence. I would have to then become non-attached. I'd have to become detached enough to allow the technique of meditation to happen. That only happens when I am ready to release completely. So, in a sitting posture, it could be in a chair, it could be on the floor. The earliest writer and codifier of these practices, Patanjali, around 250 BC, all he said was straight spine, strong, steady, slow breathing, and stillness. That's all he said. Well, if I get there, and I've done all of the above, then I will release, and then all of a sudden I will be saying, oh my goodness, I was in meditation. I was there. But I cannot say, okay, at 12 minutes after 1 this afternoon, I will be meditating. It doesn't happen. I can only bracket a set of minutes for myself and sit and do my homework, and then hopefully I will be transcending. But it's that release, and the bottom line being that being non-attached or detached from the circumstances is going to bear the fruit. And that has been most helpful to me in connecting to Source for myself. And I have tools that work for me, so many of us do, and we're always looking for ways of deepening those. Well, another thing that I've found very helpful has been to keep the same technique of meditation and allow it to deepen. Sometimes we get into a cycle of searching and of shopping, continually shopping. We might give some technique a couple of days or a week or something, and then we look for the next thing, what is going to be better. And in my experience, it takes about 2 weeks for a technique to establish itself, and then maybe about a month for us to have some insight. So there, non-attachment. It's a very important thing to release ourselves into our technique. And then the connection will come. We can start to have some insights, some intuitive impressions will come to us. Having a journal can be very important, where you write down these things, you write down your ideas, and take another look at them, and to see how we're doing. It's like taking your pulse. You know, in the physical world, you've got your pulse to have your well-being established or assessed. But in the spiritual realm, in the metaphysical realm, it's going to be a much more subtle thing than the pulse. It's going to be how we display compassion and understanding, how we are able to accept ourselves and others a little bit better. Always coming down to very simple things, very simple rules. And then we will know. It will be a difference between knowing and having faith. All of us have some element of faith. That's why we came here. We're depending upon this companionship to give us a picture of a reflection of who we are, possibly. That we have faith in that being able to happen. But also there is knowing deep inside, that we can each have experiences that are going to reinforce and show us, yes, these higher truths really exist. Yes, it is possible to be in the holy mountain, or to reach the summit, or whatever the terms are that you feel is enlightenment, nirvana. All of those terms are something similar. But knowing that that happens comes from the very first step of non-attachment. So I'll stop here, and thank you so much for this opportunity.
Thank you.
Thank you,
John.
Thank you, too. Thank you.
Two weeks ago, I came, and I thought it was the panels 2 weeks ago, so I was all prepared, and found out it wasn't, so that I got to listen to Connie's take on the topic, and it was remarkably close, and I'm going to say some of it again, and those of you who weren't there will... didn't hear it once, so that's fine. At first I thought amplifying my connection to Source, that's an impossibility. How can I amplify my connection to Source? It just is. I'm connected, I didn't connect, and that's how it is. And then I thought about the word amplifying, and I checked with John to get the musical take on it, and he gave me the words to make stronger, bigger, louder. And I thought, well, all of that is taking the sound and making it stronger so that the vibrations can go out further into the world and more people can hear. So I thought, okay, I can go with this topic now. I can amplify my connection to the degree that I connect with Source in a way that's meaningful to me, that has feeling and passion behind it, then you can get it, some of that from me, because it's the vibrations I'm putting out. And when we... I forgot your name, but you mentioned vibrations. And it's always vibrations we're putting out that people get. So when I was driving around in my motorhome about 6 months ago, I stopped in Ocala, Florida. And on that particular Sunday, the minister gave out these little cards. I only have one. I'm going to pass it around. But it says on it, "I invite the light." And I can't remember anything she talked about, but I kept the card. Now, how valuable is that? Just pass it around. It's on both sides. Look at it and pass it on. What it tells me is that I have the choice whether to consciously be aware of my connection or not. I can invite the light. Now, Connie talked about the light 2 weeks ago. I can't tell you her exact words, but I know the light was a big, strong part of it. And I smiled because I knew I had that little card with me then. So it's about choice, really. We're already connected, and to what degree do we choose to be aware of that connection and let it work in our lives and share it with other people? Deepak Chopra, I'm deep into this little book right now because it's relevant to a class I'm teaching. But he talks about the unified field and the field of all possibilities and the field of pure consciousness, and that's the source that I'm connected with. That's the source that's in and through me. So that's where the light is. That's where the light comes from. And as I choose to be aligned with it, then more light can shine through me. And that is a choice. And when we make our choices, we get in with that lovely word, intention. And intention means it's something that is going to be, there's no two ways about it. We're not going to try it for 2 weeks, and then if it doesn't work, we're going to give it up. We either intend or we don't intend. So intention is very important. To intend to be connected at all times. And it goes right along with what John was saying about meditation, because I wrote down the word mindfulness. And mindfulness is meditation carried into our everyday activities, all our activities. And another way of saying it is practice the presence. And I couldn't find that beautiful little book by Joel Goldsmith, but he's written a whole book on just practicing the presence. That's what it's about. How do I amplify my connection with Source? I practice the presence I know about Source every minute. John said it's something he works on every day. And I would say, yes, I'm right with you there, John. Another way to look at it is it's where I put my attention. Like, it doesn't matter what I'm doing, I can see spirit at work in whatever it is. I'm teaching financial freedom at the moment, so I got into this mode recently of every time I found a penny, reading on it, "In God We Trust," and reminding myself that God is my source. And then I started finding dimes, and I thought, oh, what a pity it doesn't say, "In God We Trust," on the dimes. And you know it does. I just had never read a dime close enough. So now I'm finding dimes. I don't know what the quarter says, but well, I'll be happy to find those too. It's what we're aware of, and it's the attention we bring. Let's go back to Deepak Chopra for a minute. He says the unified field is a field of pure consciousness, a field of unlimited possibilities. And that's what we're connected to, and that's what I remind myself. No matter what's going on in my life, my day, my work, my activities, I'm always connected to that field of unlimited potential, that field of all possibilities. That's downright exciting. I mean, it's the field of all possibilities. I'm driving around in my motorhome in a state I've never been in before. Let me see. State of Wisconsin. I haven't been there yet. It's like, what are the possibilities in this state? I don't know what's going to come, but something will come. There's one other thing I wanted to share with you. I'm reading the Prayer of Jabez, too. And the Prayer of Jabez is just a simple little four-line prayer, and I'm only going to give you two lines of it. You'll have to find it yourself to get the other two lines. Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory. And that, along with inviting the light, my prayer is that my territory would be enlarged. I don't pray to be blessed because I already am blessed. And I know it, and I feel it, and I get it. But I do ask that my territory be enlarged. And I've only just been interacting with that prayer for a few weeks, so I don't quite know what that's going to mean yet. We'll wait and see what it means. It could be enlarging my physical territory, or my spiritual territory, or my social territory. Oh, there's lots of possibilities. So I will go along with John and say that amplifying is making stronger, bigger, louder, and say, yes, I can hold that in the context of amplifying my connection to Source. I can go along with that word now. And I can just say that it's the most exciting thing, because there's just no limit. You know, how do I know how big my territory is going to get? How do I know how much light is going to come in and pass through me? How do I know what the end is? I don't know what the end is. I've just been given a glimpse of it today, because I have a little Tibetan bowl, and it's about that big, and I play it on my hand, and it's kind of like, oh my goodness me, looking at the possibilities. So I feel a little like that baby bowl, and I can get bigger and bigger and bigger, and who knows what tune I'll play when I get to be the size of your bowls. So, thank you.
Well, Connie prepares her talks for months, and what has happened, I mean, this morning I was thinking about it, we had something, I mean, yesterday, so when she reminded me, are you going to talk tomorrow, and says, I have not prepared anything, but always happens to me that God prepares me in my life. So this morning I meditated and I say, what has been happening in my life? And I always like to talk not from what I know, but what I live, or maybe share with you some of the things.
Could you speak up?
Yes.
Thank you.
I share with you not my knowledge. I'd say I share with you my experience. Maybe it's useful, maybe it's not. So just you decide. And this is wonderful, because I don't have anything else better to give you than what works for me. And maybe there are some good ideas there. When Connie said amplify the connection, I realized that we are always connected. Enjoy. I mean, you go through your days, you do go to work, you're happy, you're driving, you go to a supermarket, whatever it is, you're pretty much connected. If you meditate, I mean, that's okay. I mean, you go there and, I mean, you have a full blast of the connection. And to me, Hillary says, I mean, the connection is light. But to me, the connection feels like joy. The real issue is when there is conflict, as John said. And it's amazing, because I say, okay, well, conflict, and what makes me disconnect? Because then we go to the opposite, and see how we do that. I get connected, as everybody does, by nature. I mean, and the reading of David was absolutely amazing. I am in love with nature. I mean, it's full blast. I mean, it's the sunset, or the flowers, or the colors. I mean, it really, I mean, is. I think we are like one of your balls. So, and we go like this. It's amazing. So, what other things, I mean, connect me? Beautiful things. I mean, can be the cushions that they are gorgeous, could be a piece of art, something that transcends whatever you see. And people. For me, I mean, that's the best connection. If I can get a smile from people, God shines through those eyes in that smile. And it's almost like a combustion. I mean, you see it, you feel it, you smell it, it's something tangible. So what happens if we have conflict, especially for me, with people? Then Pitta becomes from this to this. And I'm hurt, and there is pain, And especially it hurts because it's people usually that you love. So this is when I feel I'm disconnected. So the work, my work begins. Well, maybe he didn't mean to. Maybe she didn't realize to. But that doesn't feel very good. And then, I mean, I work myself, and I say, well, I mean, who told you that everybody's perfect? And I mean, I do all kinds of soothing things. I'm not very good at soothing myself, but I try. And then there is a point when I feel the connection, and I says, are you having an attack of conditional love or unconditional love? Wow. Right in. It's like a dart. And I says, well, if you talk your walk, or you walk your talk, or you preach whatever you say, this has to be unconditional love. No matter what the other person happened, it doesn't matter. Because we are all expressions of God. This is God expressing the best he can or she can. And that's one of the things that I said, that's perfectly okay. Who's perfect? So in that minute, I regain my condition. And I remember. But not only I remember for the other person, I do remember also for me how unconditional love I am. And making that comparison with compassion, as you said, with self-acceptance, with everything like that, then you get into the same mode to apply to everyone. And guess what? It's a whole combustion. Okay? You are at peace. You are happy. Nothing is lost. There is nothing to forgive. Just love. And when you love, you regain joy. And my connection to Source is always joy. And thank you.
Thank you.